All right, Acts chapter 2, if you will. I want to talk to you. Now, I've never preached a whole sermon on baptism. I've never done it. And the reason is because where we live in the South, you know, we're pretty insulated, and everybody around here always thought, well, they know what baptism is. I didn't grow up in church. So I've mentioned it, and I've talked a little bit about it. But today I want to preach a whole sermon just on the importance of baptism. I'm not going to bore you now. This is not going to be a doctrinal thesis, you know. And so turn to Acts 2:38 and Acts 2:41, if you will. 2:38 and 2:41. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people accepted Christ and got baptized on the same day. There was no discussion about whether or not you want to get baptized. There was no discussion on how to get baptized. They accepted Christ and they were baptized immediately. That's the biblical structure. That's the way it's supposed to be done, biblically. Now, I know the world has changed, people work and all those things, but I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. I won't take long, because of many people that have been misled and mistaught, and now the average church is non-denominational, non-doctrinal, or either Catholic-leaning. And the doctrine is not the same, okay? Things that are different are not the same. And now people, because the Southern Baptist Convention has gone that way now. I mean, some churches you can get baptized, some you don't have to. Some you can get sprinkled or poured or dunked, whatever you want to do. But I want to teach you what real biblical baptism is, okay? And it's just been so watered down in modern translations and modern teaching. And I want to teach it just because of the outright rebellion of the culture that we live in. The culture we live in now is it do whatever's right in your own eyes. If it feels good, do it. If it don't do it, you know. No commitment, no doctrinal truth. It's all about feelings. Doesn't matter what the Bible says, how do you feel about it? That's the way it is. Well, I'm just opposite. What does the Bible say? And I'll change my feelings to match the Bible. Okay, because I'm a believer. But a lot of people now, the whole culture is rebelling against authority. They're rebelling against instruction. They're from anybody who's lived longer than they have. I've been around a long time. I'm not the smartest person in this room. I'm not the most educated, but I've got a lot of experience. And for somebody 20 years old walk up to me and argue with me over the Bible that I've been preaching since 1979, I got a problem with that. Now, if I'm wrong, show me scripture, but don't argue with me. And I don't, I'll be honest with you, I really don't care how people feel about it. I want to know what the Bible says. Okay? Well, I grew up this way. Well, I grew up wrong too. That's why he said they repented. That's change of mind. They repented and went a different direction. And they went to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've certainly been saved longer, and I've certainly studied the Word longer than the average Christian, because I'm an old guy. I'll be 65 next month. I know I look like I'm 35, but I'll be 65 next month. And I've been around a while. And I've walked with God longer than a lot of people that will argue with you over the Scriptures, even though you've read them, and you've taught them, and you've obeyed them, and you've trusted them. They'll argue about it. So I thought I needed to teach about it. What does the Bible say? Okay. Now, when I say the Bible, I mean an inspired by God, infallible, that means there's no fallacy in it, inerrant, that means there's no error in it, Word of the living God. He's alive and well. He wrote a book. He's kept a book. I have one right here in front of me, this old King James Bible into English. So I looked up the word baptize in the Bible dictionary. And in the Greek language that the New Testament was originally written in, the word was baptizo. Well, there was no English word that was like baptizo that they could translate into English and say this is what that means. But it meant to immerse or put under as burying something. So the English translators of the King James Bible made an English word and they said, well, baptizo, we'll just call it baptized. We'll call it baptized. So they created a new English word to go with the old Greek word. And they didn't argue about what it means or anything. It means to immerse, put under, to immerse in, to dip underwater. And Jesus made that a requirement for all believers as a testimony of his death and his burial and resurrection. Now, I know sometimes you want to put them under and keep them there. But there's supposed to be a resurrection. Now, and what that was for you that got baptized, that's a statement of faith that you believe in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And now you have died to yourself and you've been buried in Christ and you've come up a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Now there's other baptisms in the Bible. There's a baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's when we're immersed in the Holy Spirit. Not he just in us, but us in him. We surrender completely to him. Amen. There's a baptism for fire. Baptism with fire. That's coming. It's called hell. It's called hell. That's the baptism of fire the Bible talks about. So I want to try to tell you just for a few minutes what baptism is not. Y'all listening?
Yes.
It is not salvation. Salvation, baptism won't save you. Bully Fogberry, my first pastor, said, you can get baptized till you know every manner in the Catawba River by his first name, still die and go to hell. It don't save nobody. If you're not saved, you're going down a wet sinner, you're coming up a wet sinner. You ain't saved. Baptism is not, it's not a work of grace. It's a testimony. It's an identifying act. Romans 1:16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we shouldn't be ashamed of identifying ourselves with his death and his burial and his resurrection. It is not for babies. I'm going to say that again. It is not for babies. That's a leftover Catholic doctrine. That's not a Bible doctrine. And the Catholics got it from the Babylonian religion. I'm not against Catholics. I just want to tell you what the Bible says. A lot of Baptists died over baptism, had to fight for it and persecuted for it against the Catholic Church and against Protestant churches too. In order to be saved, the Bible says, we just read it, believe and be saved. Believe and you'll get and be baptized. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call before you're saved, and you got to be saved before you identify with the death, burial, and resurrection, or you're not identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection. You're trying to do a work that makes you good enough to go to heaven. And there's no such work that can do that. You'll trust Christ to get to heaven. And then once you trust him, you receive him. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Once you receive him, then you don't have a problem with the Bible.
Amen.
You want to obey the Lord. So. I said it's not salvation. It's not for babies. It's not for unbelievers. For an unbeliever to get baptized is one of two things. Number one, it is either knowing the truth and lying to impress somebody or make somebody think you're something you're not. Or it's just biblical ignorance and you're doing it and it accomplishes nothing at all. Number three. You still with me? It's not a work of grace. It's not a sacrament. It will not get you one brick in heaven. Not one. It won't even get you in heaven. It is identifying yourself that you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was everything He said He was, and He was the Son of God, and He lived a life you can't live, and He died to death in your place to pay for your sins, and because you can't do it. And then He rose from the dead that third day to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice, and He was everything that He claimed to be. Then you get baptized to identify yourself with believing that. So, if you're not saved, then you're just wasting water. Number two, what it is. It is commanded by Scripture. There are so many people now that claim to be Christians that don't want to make any commitment to a church. They don't want to make any commitment to a thing for Christ. They don't want to make anything, a commitment that would identify them with being a Christian. They just want to live and let live. But I've got news for you. If you get saved, it is a command to be baptized. There's two things He told our church to do, every church to do. Number one, baptize them. Number two, recognize His death, burial, and resurrection and the shedding of His blood by the Lord's Supper. It's a command. Acts 2.38, Acts 2.41, Acts 28.19 and 20. And there's examples of baptism in Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48, Acts chapter 16, verse 33, Acts 18.8, Acts 19.5, 1 Corinthians 1.17, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. All of those have baptisms in them. Every one of them. Well, preacher, I just don't want to be identified with organized religion. That's what they say. And I say, you've been listening to the Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
You can't be saved, not be identified with a local organized body of Christ. You'll want to be recognized as a part of the body of Christ. It's commanded. There's examples. And then it's symbolic. It's symbolic. Y'all still listening to me back there, boys? You've been baptized? It's symbolic. Listen, it is a testimonial act as well as an act of showing faith. It's a testimonial. It's a public profession of faith. A pastor told me one time, he said, I had this woman that didn't want to get baptized in public, so I went to her house and baptized her in the bathtub. I said, you should have thrown some soap in there, because she didn't get baptized. She got washed at the house. That's all she got. It's a public testimony of I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a public testimony. I believe this so much, I'll shame myself in front of everybody that I know, and I'll let myself I'll submit to this baptism, even though it's a public thing. We used to do it in the river. Last time I did it in the river, I almost lost a woman. A long time ago. Man came to church one day, said, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I think I need to get rebaptized. That'll make me feel it. I said, if you ain't saved, he said, I need to get rebaptized in the river, and I think that'll make me feel it. I said, if you're not saved, I can baptize you in the river and the ocean and the Red Sea and the Black Sea and the Catawba and Lake Wiley and everywhere else, and you're still not going to be saved. It's a public testimony. It doesn't save you, but it lets the world know you are. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says this, if you want to turn there. I got three scriptures. Verse 4 says this, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Ephesians 4, verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, I got one Lord, I got one faith, that's in the resurrected Savior, and I've got one baptism. Amen. Now, things that are different are not the same, so if there's three different kinds of baptism, then one of them's got to be right, the rest of them's got to be wrong. And I want to do it the way Jesus did it.
Amen.
Don't you? He went out into the river, and John the Baptist baptized. I see those movies, you know, they don't want to offend anybody, so they'll wade out in the river about that far, and then John will take water and sprinkle it on his head. I thought, why didn't he just put him under like the Bible says? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You say, well, you don't think people saved, it's not immersed. No, I didn't say that. I'm saying let's do it right. If we're going to be Christians, let's do what the Bible says, okay? Let's do what the Bible says. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and I'm almost through. Can you believe that? I might have to find another sermon. 1 Peter 3, 21. He says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, that means that water ain't washing away anything, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That means it's in your conscience, in your heart, you're saying, I believe this enough to get immersed and buried in that watery grave. And then the last part of that verse says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't save me to get baptized. But my conscience tells me when I get baptized, I just identified myself with Jesus Christ and His death and His burial and His resurrection, and I'm not ashamed of that. Well, preacher, I would, but I was raised different. It doesn't matter how you... I wasn't raised at all. We never went to church. I didn't know. I'd never seen a baptism until I got baptized myself. At 23 years old, I got baptized. Never seen one. Came in church one night. Preacher Fogberry said, by the way, I learned they had church at night, so I went. So we went to church, and Pastor Fogberry said, you getting baptized tonight? I said, huh? That's how big round I was. My pant size were about 29 or 30. I said, am I supposed to? He said, well, that's what the Bible says. I said, let's do it. I didn't say, how are you going to do it? I didn't say, do you have a bottle of water you're going to pour over my head? By the way, I can't preach at Presbyterian Church because I'll drink the baptistry. I said, am I supposed to do that? He said, that's what the Bible said. Believe me, baptized. I said, let's do it. He said, you bring changed clothes? I said, I got them on. Let's do it. My wife raised in the Presbyterian Church. He said, you going to get baptized? She said, well, we don't have no clothes. And he sent his son-in-law across the street and his daughter and got his daughter's clothes to put on my wife. They're about the same size. And he got his son-in-law's clothes, who was three times bigger than me. And I got baptized and put them pants on. Y'all ever done? I can't do it no more. I did those pants like this. Put the belt on. You done that before, I can tell. they came up to there, you know. I said, let's do it. Now, why would anybody say anything different? Unless they were ashamed. And the only way I think you were ashamed is you didn't really get saved. You just made a profession. Or they were ignorant of what real baptism was. And ignorance is not arrogance. It doesn't argue with the truth. It just doesn't know the truth. Once you permit, you give the truth to ignorance, it accepts the truth. They don't argue about baptism. I was ignorant. But Brother King, when that man told me that's what the Bible says, I said, let's do it. I knew it didn't save me. I was already saved. I knew that a few weeks before I'd walked down that aisle and I'd asked Jesus to forgive me of all my sins, come into my heart, save me, take me to heaven when I die. And if I died and went to hell, I was going to trust Him and nothing else. I knew the baptism didn't save me, but I had enough common sense to think it's going to identify me with Him, and whatever He is, I want to be identified with Him. People back in Lancaster said, old Ron Roddy's done lost his mind. He's gone religion crazy. He done started going to church Sunday morning. He goes to Sunday school. He goes on Sunday night. He goes on Wednesday night. Somebody told me he got baptized. The man's done lost his mind, gone religion crazy. Another one sent one word back and said that gal he married done straightened him up. I said, you go back down there and tell them there ain't no woman in this world can straighten up this sorry rascal. Jesus did that. It's a symbolic testimony.
Yes.
And listen, here's what it is, and I'm through. As a Christian, he says, repent, believe, and be baptized. You know what repentance is? Repentance is saying, God,
yes,
I'm wrong. God, I'm wrong about everything. And Lord, I'm turning to you. And I'm going to trust you with everything from now on. And I've changed my mind. I don't know anything. And I don't know how to fix stuff. And I don't know how to go to heaven. But I do know this. Without you, I'm nothing. And without you, I'm going to a devil's hell. And then after I got saved, I said, Lord, now that I'm saved, without you, I'm not going to be able to live it. I can't walk it. I can't talk it. Lord, you're going to have to do it. And I turned to him. And then that night when I walked in, he said, you getting baptized? I said, hey, let's do it. It didn't make me more saved. But it made me a good Christian. Made me an obedient Christian. You see, a lot of people get saved. They never go past that point. And listen to me, young people. God's not going to give you more until you use what He's already given you in knowledge. And if you don't use the knowledge He's given you, you're going to stop right there until you use that, what you learned. You apply that, and you'll go farther in the light. And when you get farther in the light, He'll teach you some other things. But He's not going to teach you anything until you get that one first. And then you get in the light, and it teaches you about godly living. You live in that light, and you go a little bit farther, and He'll show you some other stuff. And your whole Christian life is like that. You go from light to light, from grace to grace, to light to light. And then you'll be that Christian that you always admire.
Amen.
If you stop at baptism, you're done. You'll go to heaven. You'll go to heaven. But the Bible says, saved yet so is by fire. That would have been the only work that required of you that one time was to get baptized. That didn't save you, but it would have been a good work, and you would have got rewarded for it in heaven. But that'll burn up when you get to heaven because you didn't obey Him, and you didn't get no farther. That's like joining church, same thing. Then after you start living for God, that's like bad habits and stuff like that. When He shows you, be obedient. And then when you get to heaven, you'll be rewarded.
Amen.
Down here, there's a lot of reward to it, by the way, also.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Thanks,
Father. Did you get to move that camera? All right. Listen, I'm not telling you to join this church. I'm telling you to get born again.
Amen.
Turn from your sins. Turn to Christ. Ask Him to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the requirement. That's it. Receive Him, as many as received Him. And then once you get saved, say, okay, Lord, now what do you want me to do? And just do what He tells you.
Amen.
And live by faith. Young people, look at me. You're not going to be as mature as the older Christians until you get to where they are. Don't look at them and say they're either a hypocrite or they're too good. I'll never be able to reach that. You do what He tells you to do right now. And next week He'll give you a little more. Next year He'll give you a little more. Next year. And you'll grow in grace. And 20 years from now, some young Christian will look at you and they'll say, I wish I could be like him.
Amen.
I wish I could be like her. But you never even gave in to baptism. Amen.
Amen.
Now the question today is, do you know Him? That's the question.
Yep.
Now if you say you know Him, there's been a time in your life where you admitted you were a sinner, you turned to Christ, asked Him to forgive you, you received Him as your Savior, you trusted in His finished work on that cross and His resurrection from that grave, that you know He can do it. He's got the power to do anything. And then you trust Him. The question is, how much do you trust Him after you're saved? Now, if you're not saved today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be saved today. It's real easy. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on the Christ. Call on His name. Confess Him as your Savior. And you'll be born again. One other story. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. Y'all knew I had one more, didn't you? Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, the black man from Ethiopia. He's the queen of Candace's right-hand man. And he's gone to Israel to find God. And he got down there in Jerusalem. And he left And he didn't find God. And the Holy Spirit tells Philip, says, Philip was in revival preaching. People's getting saved. The Holy Spirit says, Philip, go down there and talk to this Ethiopian eunuch. And he whisked him up and put him out in the desert. And there ain't no crowd out there. He sees this guy in this chariot and he's reading Isaiah. And Philip runs up beside him. When the last time you saw a Baptist preacher run up beside anybody? He runs up beside him and said, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man guide me? And the Bible says he got up there and he took those scriptures and he preached unto him Jesus. And the Ethiopian said, well, here's water. Where'd water come from out in the desert? Here's water. He didn't say, here's water. He said, here's water. What hindereth me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe. He didn't cry for 3 or 4 days like I did. He didn't weep and wail like I did. He didn't feel guilty for 3 years like I did. He didn't lose sleep for 3 years like I did. He just said, I believe this. I believe Jesus was everything he said he was. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. And what he was saying, the best way I know how, I believe that. Now here's water, what hinders me from me. And it says they both went down into the water.
Yes.
Hard to get down in that, ain't it? They both went down into the water. And he was baptized.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit sent Philip back home. And he sent that man rejoicing. And if you'll read history, you'll see that one of the greatest churches that ever existed was in northern Africa, where he went home and told everybody else about Jesus. It's so simple, people miss it. Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you died right now, you go to heaven? I do. I ain't say good enough. I ain't say even feel like it all the time. But 1 John 5:4 says, this is written so you may know that you have eternal life. And he that has the Son has life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. Do you know? Was there a time in your life where you could drive it down and say, that's the day I received Christ? Well, if you know that, then the baptism reinforces that and it helps your conscience with that, believing the death, burial, and resurrection. Let's stand. Father, I don't know anybody's